Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, January 19, 2021. A senior leader in the Catholic Church says the dividends of the revitalized peace agreement has not reached the people of Yei.
The peace we people talk in South Sudan is still coming. Maybe it reached Juba, but did not reach Yei. Maybe it reached Western Equatoria and other places. This peace did not reach Yei. And I challenge some of the people, even including government officials, those who want to say peace has reached Yei since it was signed, let them come and look with us here in Yei and see for themselves whether there is that peace or not.
And a gunman killed 7 people in Upper Nile State.
We are also condemning this such an incident for people who are within the town. It's just to be attacked that way. So we condemn that incident.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Catholic Bishop of Yei Diocese, Herculano Lodu Tombe, says residents of Yei County in Central Equatorial State are yet to enjoy the dividends of the revitalized peace agreement signed in 2018. Bishop Tombe says movement of pastoralists with huge number of cattle is causing insecurity in Yei. He says the South Sudan People's Defense Forces are also harassing, beating, and even killing civilians in remote parts of the county. Tombe says one of his catechists was shot and killed on his way to Lanya by a suspected pastoralist earlier this month.
So he was going from Loka to Lanya. At a certain point, I think they were stopped. I don't know who stopped them, where they were going. They said they were going to Lanya. The situation does not seem good. And then somebody, we don't know who, somebody said, this catechist, he's a rebel. And then without any investigation, he was just shot dead. That is the scary situation we're receiving. We are trying to find out what exactly happened. But that is the incident.
I was watching a military officer on Facebook who was speaking about the events happening in Lanya. And he was saying, your catechist was shot by the rebels of the National Salvation Front. And he said the church is trying to tarnish the image of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces by blaming the army for shooting the catechist. How do you react to that?
I have not heard that. I would like that person come, we talk together, because this is a kind of lying propaganda going on around. We never said this man was killed by rebels. This man must have been shot by the cattle raiders who are moving all over with guns, and the government is looking. And we never said that it was the government troops who killed them. No. So that person should come and talk to me in here if he or she is listening. It's a lie to whoever shot him that this man is a rebel, is responsible of why this man was shot.
Bishop Arcolano, let's talk about the peace agreement. The Transitional Government of National Unity has been saying, and it is still saying, that there is peace in South Sudan, and they have been asking South Sudanese who took refuge in Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, to come back home because, according to the government, there is peace in the country. How do you react to that?
I have no doubt that peace agreement has been signed by all the parties concerned, except maybe those who are still fighting. If I talk like that, it means that I am not for any discrimination that peace was not signed. But the issue is everybody, not me alone, is saying that agreement is not implemented. That is one. This is obvious. In my own case, again, people speak of peace has already come to South Sudan. I have always been consistent. The peace which has been signed for South Sudan has not reached Yei yet, and I mean it. Let anybody say what he wants. The peace which people talk in South Sudan is still coming. Maybe it reached Juba, but did not reach Yei. Maybe it reached Western Equatoria and other places. This peace did not reach Yei, and I mean what I say. And I challenge some of the people, even including government officials, people of national government, those who want to say peace has reached Yei since it was signed, let them come and look with us here in Yei and see for themselves whether there is that peace or not. So Sorry, John, peace has not come here yet.
We have covered your diocese, that's Yei Diocese, extensively when fighting broke out in South Sudan 2015 and 2016. And, you know, the stories we hear from Yei are not very good. And when you speak to your parishioners on Sunday, I'm sure some of them are military generals, intelligence officers, government officials. What do you tell them?
In our homilies and our instruction to people, whoever come there, we speak what we know, what exactly we are talking to you. And we are very straightforward without hiding anything, that some of you are here in this church. You military commanders, members of security and other people, civilians and non-civilians, you are also here listening to what we are saying. You are responsible also of the kind of thing going on. Control your soldiers, control the situation. The issue of rebels going on, you are speaking of NAS. We don't know what NAS is doing. But what we know, what the government army is doing around us, NAS may be in the bush. We are not able to go to the bush too far from where we are. We don't know what they are doing. What we know, some of our people live in the countryside, do come to report to us that they are there, there are people, but they also say that it is in. NAS are not doing anything to them. Those who make them to run from the villages or the town are the government groups. And I am talking the truth of what people who run from countryside say. They run from government troops who are looting and even killing some of them. So I don't know about NAS, but people don't tell us that it is NAS doing it.
How is the humanitarian situation in Yei? I mean, you were just telling me that people have been reduced to beggars. And out of my experience working in South Sudan, I know that the church has been and is still a beacon of hope for a lot of people who are not seeing any lights at the end of the tunnel. What are people telling you in Yei?
The church is the only voice here, and people are asking if the church were not here, they themselves would not be in Yei. We have decided some of us the priests who want to go to stay because of insecurity, they are in Uganda and in Congo with some of our people. But some of us decided that unless the people of Yei who leave the town, we are going to stay with the people in the town. And the people know it, that we are their voice. We have defended them from 2016. The question of humanitarian catastrophe, it is Caritas South Sudan that has been helping all the dioceses of South Sudan. Caritas South Sudan has been working hard, except over the last 1 year now, due to COVID-19, where emergency support for the people is no more coming.
President Salva Kiir is a staunch Catholic, and if you get an opportunity to speak to him as one of your parishioners, what would you tell him about the situation in Yei?
First of all, it is not easy to see the president. I would have been very happy to meet the president personally, but I don't want to be stopped in so many ways of stopping even 3-4 days. I'm not a beggar to talk to my own president. There is a bureaucracy of meeting the president which cannot agree with me, and let them go ahead with the president, but also we go ahead with our own work. And the president knows what we are doing, what we are saying. He's a friend of Yei. He has got his own home in Yei, and he knows the people of Yei.
That's Bishop Herculano Lodu Tombe, the Catholic Bishop of Yei Diocese. He spoke with me from Yei Town on Monday. Authorities in Upper Nile State are looking for an armed man suspected of killing 7 people and wounding 5 others in Palluj on Saturday. Authorities say the suspected killer appears to have carried out the attack to revenge the killing of 4 people in the area earlier last week. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Paul Cholding, former secretary of the now defunct Northern Upper Nile State, says the gunman found a group of 15 men sleeping in a hut in Palluj town and opened fire, killing 6 people on the spot. He says a 7th person later succumbed to his injuries.
We are also condemning this such an incident occurred for people who are within the town. It's just to be attacked that way. So we condemn that incident. If it is something which is going outside us, we have no this of the people who are fighting themselves there. This we have no something to say. But somebody to be killed within the town, I think that is such a thing should not happen. And that's why we form a committee here that is to go and investigate thoroughly so that to find the culprit.
Chol says officials are outraged by the unprovoked killings in Paluch. He says a joint security committee has been formed to comb the crime scene for clues, gather information and bring the perpetrator to justice.
There was cattle raiding and in near Panambit. The attackers who attacked the village took many cows, and then they killed about four people and threw two wounded. So I think this should be linked with that one.
Chol says the incident may be a revenge attack linked to the cattle raid and four killings in the area earlier last week. Major General Manyong Jurkuch Deng, police commissioner of what has been Northern Upper Nile State, says the attack is disturbing.
I don't know what is happening in the south. Any crime which cannot happen, it happens. Like what happened in Solon, nobody can expect that to happen that way. Now, we are doing our best. That thing is not to happen again.
Jurkuch is urging residents in Paluch town to remain calm and to not take the law into their own hands as authorities investigate the matter. According to the UN mission in South Sudan, revenge attacks and cattle-related killings remain the biggest insecurity challenges after political violence subsided in the country following the signing of the revitalized peace agreement in September 2018. Bol Deng Bol, an activist with the organization Interpret South Sudan, urges the parties to the peace agreement to quickly form state governments in order to curb repeated incidents of intercommunal violence and cattle raids in some South Sudanese states. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
More clashes continue in West Darfur State on Monday, with the death toll climbing to 129 people and 198 injuries, according to the Committee of West Darfur Doctors. A resident of Kirindik refugee camp who was forced to flee says armed militia are still occupying the camp. A spokesperson for internal displaced persons in Darfur says despite the fresh clashes on Monday, relative calm has returned to West Darfur State. He also says thousands of IDPs who fled the camp need shelter. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
34-year-old Mohammed Raja was living at Krendik IDP camp in El Jineina when it came under attack on Saturday and Sunday. Speaking in Arabic from El Jineina, Raja tells VOA that armed militiamen are still occupying the camp. He says, the whole camp is occupied by militia. They burned all our crops and settled there. As we speak, we cannot return to the camp, nor can the police or army go in there. Some of the dead bodies are still lying inside the camp. We cannot retrieve them. Hundreds of thousands of people like Raja were displaced by the violence which continued for 3 days beginning on Saturday. Raja says the IDPs were forced to take shelter inside school buildings in the town of El Jineina. He says, we entered government schools and centers. We are now occupying around 46 schools and centers because they are located at the heart of the city. But still, we are not 100% safe. Militia infiltrate the area every now and then, and we can still hear gunshots from where we are. Adam Rijal is the spokesperson for the IDPs in Darfur. He says the fighting subsided a bit on Monday. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus from Zalinje in central Darfur, Rijal says, on Monday there was some relative calm as far as the general security situation in El Jineina goes, but the security situation is still very dangerous, especially for IDPs who were forced out of the Krendik camp, leaving behind some dead bodies of their colleagues. Yesterday the death toll increased to 129 and 198 injuries. The United Nations African Union Peacekeeping Mission in Darfur, or UNAMID, has completely withdrawn from West Darfur State as its mandate came to an end on December 31st. Rijal says the withdrawal of UNAMID was a mistake. He says, this situation was expected. We warned the government and even the UN Security Council about the decision to withdraw UNAMID forces from Darfur. At least when they were here, they could report the violence accurately and independently, which made the militia somewhat restrained. But now they are emboldened by what they see as a weakness and security vacuum. South Sudan in Focus reached out to UNAMID spokesperson Ashraf Issa for comment on the security vacuum the mission left behind in Darfur.
All I can say is that the arrangement was when UNAMID's mandate ends, the National Protection Force takes over from it. So I really have no comment on this one, I'm afraid. Honestly, we don't have a mandate. Our mandate has ended. So if you were to ask me before midnight, 31st of December, I would have happily opined about it. Now I can't.
Raja and thousands of other IDPs who have taken shelter inside schools and other government buildings in the capital of Jenena are calling on humanitarian organizations to step in and provide them with food and other supplies. They are also calling on authorities to provide protection for civilians and restore order in West Darfur State. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at the struggle for COVID-19 vaccines. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could be famous, what would you like to be famous for?
I don't know if I want to be famous for anything in particular, but I think being famous in a way that is beneficial to other people, say, be famous for having like a really solid foundation that in turn inspires other people to also give back.
I would like to be famous for inventing new things, coming up with new and innovative ideas.
I'd wish to be a vibrant politician in my country, and I wish to be known for being a very good politician.
I would love to be famous in the sector of acting, like as an actor. I'd love to be an inspiration to others. Yeah, I like to inspire people.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. And in our Tuesday health segment, we focus on the efforts to secure COVID-19 vaccines for Africa. The continent is set to soon receive 270 million vaccines. The African Union says they hope to see this distributed equitably across the continent. It is the first major consignment of what health experts say are the 1.5 billion doses they will need to vaccinate enough Africans to achieve herd immunity. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
For slightly more than 2 months, a task team at the African Union, a 55-member organization of African states, has worked to try to make sure the continent gets its share of coveted coronavirus vaccines. Late Wednesday, the AU announced it had done so, with the first 270 million vaccines on their way. That is just under a fifth of the 1.5 billion doses officials think they'll need to vaccinate around 70% of the continent. That is the rough threshold to achieve herd immunity. Tyrone Seal is spokesman for South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, who currently serves as AU chairman.
President Ramaphosa said that from the onset of this pandemic, our focus as a continent has been on collaboration and collective effort. We've held steadfastly to the principle that no country should be left in mind. And with this in mind, we have not only campaigned vigorously for changes through all the available international forums, but we've taken the additional step to independently secure vaccines using our own limited resources as member states.
In a separate announcement last week, officials in South Africa, the continent's coronavirus hotspot, announced it would receive 1 million India-manufactured doses by the end of January and another 500,000 in February. South Africa hopes to vaccinate 40 million people, about 67% of the population, by year's end. South Africa has seen just under 1.3 million confirmed cases since the virus arrived in March. The second wave of the virus, featuring a new variant that appears to be more contagious, began in December. But low-income countries do not have the same access to the market as nations like South Africa, which is a member of the G20 economic grouping. So the AU made a plan, according to Seal.
In terms of financing, arrangements have been made with Afreximbank Bank to support member states who want to access these vaccines based on a whole of Africa approach. And the bank will, upon receipt of firm orders from member states, provide advanced procurement commitment guarantees of up to $2 billion to the manufacturers on behalf of member states. There's also close collaboration between the AU team and the World Bank to ensure that member states are able to access about $5 billion either to buy more vaccines or to pay for delivery of vaccines committed on their behalf by the bank.
Seal added that about 50 million doses will arrive between April and June, which is considered to be a critical period. The remaining doses will be available this year, he said. The India-manufactured vaccines come from Pfizer and AstraZeneca. Anita Pal, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Still on COVID, 2 years ago in January 2019, the World Health Organization said vaccine hesitancy was among the top 10 threats to global health. That was before COVID-19 spread around the globe. VOA's Carol Payson tells us how doctors are working to overcome that hesitancy.
Even though scientists race to find a vaccine, persuading people to take it could be a problem. Two recent surveys, one from the Pew Research Center and the other from Gallup, put the number of Americans not wanting to get the vaccine between 37% and 40%. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the leading infectious disease expert in the U.S., estimates that herd immunity could require as much as 85% vaccine coverage. In Philadelphia, about half of the emergency technicians and fire department medics have chosen not to get the vaccine. Philadelphia Fire Commissioner Adam Thiel says education is the key to getting them on board.
We hope that over time, as more people are vaccinated and we get more education out there, that more of our members will receive the vaccine, be willing to receive the vaccine.
African Americans have one of the highest rates of COVID infection and death in the U.S., according to the CDC. Yet surveys show only 4 out of 10 Black Americans said they would be vaccinated, compared with 8 out of 10 Asian Americans and 6 in 10 white and Hispanic Americans. Demetrio Olivieri is with the Philadelphia Fire Department.
Minorities are leery about it, and we have a right to be leery about it.
Public health experts are calling for targeted information campaigns. April Timms is a clinical neuropsychologist who has studied the impact of racism on science and health.
We need to do better at rectifying this problem so that people do participate.
Doctors who belong to the American Board of Internal Medicine are posting photos and videos of themselves getting the COVID vaccine. It's part of a campaign by the American Board of Internal Medicine to convince people that it's safe. Dr. Richard Barron heads this organization.
We're hoping that doctors in this country have enough webs of relationships with their families, with their patients, with their communities, that if they step up and lead and show people that they are not only willing to do this, but proud of it and encouraging other people to do it, we hope that will be part of the very broad campaign that we all need to get to a place where most of us have had.
Given the soaring U.S. infection rate and the enormous death toll, the need is urgent. In California, Disneyland is hosting a mass vaccination site. In Arizona, the National Guard has stepped in to help at vaccination sites. The pandemic will end only when the vaccine in a bottle gets into people's arms. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
From health, we now come to politics and security. Defense officials say they are worried about an insider attack or other threats from service members involved in securing President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. AFP correspondent Julie Walker reports.
This is prompting the FBI to vet all of the 25,000 National Guard troops coming into Washington for the event. This comes on top of the routine military reviews of service members for extremist connections. It underscores fears that some of the very people assigned to protect the city over the next days could present a threat to the incoming president and other VIPs in attendance. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy told the Associated Press, officials are conscious of the potential threat and warn commanders to be on the lookout for any problems within their ranks. I'm Julie Walker.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Upper Nile State authorities are on the hunt for a gunman who killed a group of men while they were asleep in a Palach hut last weekend. They say a seventh person later died from his injuries. Authorities suspect the attack was to revenge the killing of four people and a cattle raid that occurred earlier last week. The former leader of what was Northern Upper Nile State says authorities formed a security team to hunt for the killer. Paul Chol Deng, former secretary general of that former state, says residents and officials are outraged by the attack and the security team is determined to bring the perpetrator to justice. The death toll climbed to 129 people after 3 days of clashes, according to the Committee of West Darfur States in Western Darfur. A person at the Krendig camp in West Darfur State's capital who fled the area says armed militia are still occupying the IDP camp. A spokesman for the IDPs says thousands of people who fled the fighting and took shelter in schools and government buildings in the town of El Janina are in need of food, water, and medical help. One IDP who is living in the camp says some of the dead bodies are still lying in the camp. Adam Rijal, a spokesperson for the IDPs in West Darfur, says the fighting subsided a bit on Monday. And finally, the Catholic bishop of Ye Diocese, Herculano Lodu Tombe, says residents of Central Equatoria State's Ye County are still waiting to see the benefits of the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. Bishop Tombe says pastoralists are still moving huge numbers of cattle in the area, which he says is causing insecurity. He says members of the South Sudan Army are also harassing, beating, and even killing civilians in remote parts of the county. Tombe says not long ago, one of his catechists was shot and killed on his way to Lenya by suspected pastoralists. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
Starting Friday this week, we will resume airing listener comments. Send your brief comments about issues in our news or what is happening in your area. Our WhatsApp number is +202-630-8011. I will repeat, the number is +1-202-630-8011. We'll air our comments every Fridays. That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Yalaki Tautu by Victoria Ole and Kasang Dedi.
Kitautu, yala, kitautu, yala, kelli ni najere, yala, ni najere, yala, kelli ni najere, yala, ni najere,
We've been listening to Victoria Ole and Kasang Dedi with the song Yalaki Tautu. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. My
my people.